Okay, sweet. We're back on the podcast this week. Super excited to be back. And got somebody else in the studio with us today. Say hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's so Elijah. This is Elijah. He's one of our staff on the Mad DTS. And, yeah, he is currently doing the basic leadership school here on YWAM Brisbane and also staffing the Mad DTS. So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about like yourself and where you're from and how you got here.
Sick. Okay, yeah. So my name's Elijah, as was just stated. I was born in Arkansas, lived there for about 6 years, and then I moved to Florida, lived there for 3 years, and then I moved to Italy for 10 years. So growing up, I've always been like a missionary kid. My parents used to work with Family Life and Campus Crusade for Christ, and so I've always just been kind of been in missions. And when I was about 18, I decided to come do DTS here, and I did the music track. And yeah, I just love seeing what people can do with their giftings that God's given them.
What was your like process in getting to DTS? Like, what made you come to a DTS?
Oh yeah, so I think this is something.
I don't think you've actually told me this.
I don't think I have.
I'm excited to hear it, actually.
I think you might have heard it in my testimony time, in the testimony weekend that we did a few weeks back.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think basically growing up as a pastor's kid, you kind of have like this sense of like, oh, I know the truth, and so I don't really need to follow it. Like,
oh yeah.
Or it's kind of like, I already know all the answers, and yeah. So I'm fine. I'm perfect. You know, I don't need God's help.
Yeah, sure.
And you actually end up living more of an atheistic lifestyle than a Christian lifestyle.
Yeah.
Or not even a lifestyle, like a life surrendered to God. But so until I was 18, I was just like really struggling, and it was like a process of getting bullied and like, man, just like drinking too much. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that on here, but
no, man, be vulnerable, I guess.
Like it was just like, maybe not drinking
people,
too much.
I say be vulnerable because there's like people listening potentially
that are wanting to come to a DTS.
They're like wanting to come to DTS, and maybe they're like, that's something that they've like struggle with, and they're like, dude, okay, sweet, I'm not come to DTS. Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't, okay, I'd say it started off being bullied too much, and then I did, like, a talent show in Italy, and I got pretty famous, and that actually got to my head. And I started working in, like, clubs and bars, so I was a bartender at 16, as well as, like, a cigarette seller.
Is that, like, normal in Italy?
Yeah. That's so crazy. I was in Italy, and there was, like, this bar right outside my house, basically, on the street. But
have you always had, like, an American accent?
Yeah. But so I spoke in Italian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because, like, in Italy,
but
we speak...
But did that, like, make people, like, really love you? The fact that you're, like, from... Not from Italy, but you're, like...
No, actually, people thought I was from Italy because I got to Italy when I was 9 years old. And so everyone was, like... Like, when you get there so early in life, you go to school, you get the Italian accent right away.
Right, yeah.
So by this time, I was 16, so I'd been there from when I was 9 years old. And I was a bartender... And bartender is a big word. I didn't do cocktails and stuff, but like I was working at a bar also like a coffee shop, but also tobacco shop. So it was like this mix of weird stuff. That's kind of how a lot of places are in Italy, because it's like everything's on the go quick. It's like coffee's quick.
Yeah.
Cigarettes are quick, and like a beer's quick ish.
Right.
But so they kind of mix all those three together. But that's not what I was saying anyways. We can cut a lot of this out. But, like, basically, I had been bullied. And then, like, because I was American and because I talked a lot. And right. Which is, like, when you're talking to all the girls in the class and the boys start to, like, bully you because they're, like, we want the girls' attention. And I was also really chubby. So, like, not that that's a thing to bully people for, but I was pretty bullyable at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
you had some of the, like,
the classic things going on.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I got really, really famous in Italy. I played for like Rolling Stone magazine, played for Samsung Italy. They called me on the phone. I remember this day. I was walking around the park by myself, and Samsung calls me on the phone, and they're like, hey, so when you were on the X Factor, we heard you talk about an iPhone, and we want to change that. We want you to have a Samsung phone. And so they sent me a Samsung phone. And I was pretty cool. They put me up in like a 5-star hotel.
Crazy.
They put me up in like a 5-star hotel one time and allowed me to come with my best friend up to Milan, which is like a 3-hour train ride. First class tickets on the train. Like, Yeah, it was insane.
And you were 16.
I was 16.
Yeah, I reckon that would get to your head.
It got to my head big time, and I actually lost a lot of friends, and
so
I
like this guy's like.
Yeah, like a couple true friends stayed.
Right.
And like even through like the rough moments, they stayed. But like, I basically was like living for myself from like. I mean, basically all my life. I think that's a constant struggle in everybody's life is we live for ourselves a lot. Like, we always have this tendency of living in the flesh or, like, denying our, like, true nature in the spirit.
Right.
That makes sense?
I think even like, whether you grow up in a Christian family or not, there's, like, temptations on both sides. You know, like, if you don't grow up in a Christian home, like, you have the struggle of, like, I never actually had a good example of that. But then when you grow up in a Christian home, like, you're so heavily leaning on your parents' faith that, like, you never actually get to experience it for yourself. So it's, like, there's almost a struggle in both aspects, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what it was. Is I was really piggybacking off my parents' faith.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, my dad is a very strong believer. My mom is a very strong believer. That must make me one.
Right.
That must automatically make me one without even trying to, like, pursue God.
Right.
And so I grew up kind of actually using God as, like, a checklist every day. Like, oh, I'll have, like, a 15-minute devotional with John Piper. And then I'm going to, like, go and, like, watch TV shows about, like, sex, you know? And, like, just, like, things that have, like, horrible imagery in it, you know? And, like, and so up until I was, like, 18, I was, like, getting gigs still, like, the famous side of things kind of, like,
with your music and
calmed
stuff.
Down a bit. Like, that was just, like, gigs every now and then. I was still getting paid, like, $300 for an hour show. Like, it was so much fun. But anyway, I went to Barcelona, and, like, that's what happened. When I was 18, on my birthday, I went to Barcelona, and I met some guys from YWAM in Barcelona, and I literally skated with them every night till 2 a.m., and I remember, like, a moment during that, like, week that I was there that I was like, wow, these guys are normal. Like, they're normal guys living life in Barcelona, and they love Jesus. Like, that's the motivator behind their normalness. And it was just, like, really cool to realize that, like, it wasn't this, like, striving for perfection, but it was relying on grace instead. And so I remember going back to Italy, and I was like, Mom and Dad, I'm going to do a DTS. This is not your guys' choice. This is my choice. I'm going to Australia.
As if it was going to be, like, hard for them to, like.
And they were like, sick. Sounds good.
We've been praying for this.
Like, you finally came to God. Sounds good. So I went to DTS, and I was by far not a perfect student. And I definitely grew a lot and learned a lot about God.
Yeah,
and I think the biggest thing for me was, like, my heart intention was to grow. And people could see that. But, like, I'd definitely say, like, I had a lot of growing to do, and I've grown a lot since then.
So talk a little bit, let's conversate a little bit on how staffing has been and, like, what the difference between staff and student is and kind of your perspective on, like, the pros and cons of being staff and being student.
I think I'm going to flash back to, like, last year.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the moment when I realized I was a staff, and I was like, wow, actually, I can't be acting the same way that I acted as a student. Because I feel like as leaders, we have, like, this, like, a little bit, like, higher calling. Or, like, we're more responsible for ourselves.
Yeah, sure.
And, like, even, like, I think the biggest thing that I learned on my first school was, like, being above reproach. And, like, learning what that meant is, like, even, like, with students, like, if I'm learning boundaries with, like, how much to be vulnerable with students, how much not. I don't know.
What you can share.
What you can and can't share.
Yeah.
How much time you can spend with, like, one student.
Sure.
Like, even if it's a guy, like.
Yeah, just, like, mentoring them or whatever.
Exactly. Like,
because you want to make sure, like, that they're still depending on God, not you.
Exactly.
But also, like, being a friend and a mentor at the same time, which is really tough.
Yeah. And I think it's especially hard because a staff a lot of times don't know more than students. Like, we don't have this extra knowledge above students.
Yeah.
We just have the calling of being there for them in this time of their lives. Like,
because someone said this the other day, like, the only thing that actually separates staff from students is like the staff just did a DTS before the students,
and it's literally just 6 months of their lives.
Yeah, you know, and
like there literally could be a like 35-year-old student and a staff member of 18 years, and the knowledge that that 35-year-old could have in the Christian walk could be way greater than the knowledge of that 18-year-old that did a 6-month discipleship training school.
Right, right.
And so I feel like the difference is like we're not more knowledgeable. Maybe we have more experience DTS wise, like we know a little bit more about the specific YWAM classic topics.
Sure.
And like maybe like the curriculum a little bit. But I feel like the difference is like we have the calling of being there for them and walking with them.
Right.
In this time. Like and this like is like the specific like our specific role right now is to support them.
Yeah.
And I think it comes back to humility as well. Like,
yeah.
I don't know it.
Which
I don't know.
It sounds so much easier than it is. Like, in
oh
the
my
moment,
gosh.
Because humility's like, man, it's like.
And like, you get pissed at yourself because you want to have like all the answers.
Yeah.
You want to have all the biblical answers for your students right away.
Because you want to see them like succeed and you want to see them.
Exactly.
Grow. Yeah.
And like, I remember my first one-on-one, or like one of my first one-on-ones when I was a staff for the first time.
Hold on. So for those who don't know, we one-on-ones, each student has a mentor, and on the school we call it one-on-ones. So for example, if Elijah was my mentor, I would call him my one-on-one, or vice versa. So like for the school, each staff member typically has like 3 to 4 like students that they're mentoring through the DTS. So
it's basically like a one-on-one conversation is where it kind of derives from.
And it's kind of like weekly, and it's just to touch base and be like, hey, how are you going with classes? How are you going with like life in general? Like, you know, are you struggling with anything? Is everything going good? Like, what can I offer?
They're like your go-to person, but they're not necessarily like your like mentor. I'm going to grow you in spirituality.
Yeah, like, it's just not like, yeah. So for those who aren't maybe YWAM savvy in some of the lingo, one-on-ones is basically just mentorship / discipleship, and that's just like the YWAM lingo for
DTS is discipleship training school.
Yeah,
like absolutely. We say that probably every 2 seconds.
Yeah. So okay, go back.
First so one-on-one. Yeah, I remember my first one-on-one, or like one of like the first weeks that I was staffing. Like there was just like one of the early one-on-ones. And I remember one of my students is like, they shared something with me. I'm not going to say what because.
Right. Confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Yeah, sure.
But they shared something with me. And I remember looking at my own heart. I'm like, actually, I struggle with that exact same thing, dude. Like, and I feel like that's such a struggle for one-on-ones because like you want to be able to be stronger in that area for them.
Yeah.
To totally. Be able to give them the advice. But honestly, most of the time you're like, these are some things that have helped me, but honestly, I can help you draw closer to God. That's right. All I can do.
Yeah. And do you find that, like, in those... Because I think, like, in those moments with one-on-ones, when some... Say, for example, like that, you just shared... Someone shared something that maybe you're still walking through and trying to figure out. Sometimes the strength that you have to give to them looks more like you actually being vulnerable as well and being like, hey, like... I'm actually struggling with that too, or like,
yeah,
I'm still
true.
Walking through trying to find an answer to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I think that's where, like, for me, I've found that, like, when I'm doing one-on-ones with people, like, sometimes they're teaching me more than like I'm teaching them as a staff member.
Yeah, I remember last year somebody on one of my one-on-ones actually had more victory in an area than me. And I was like,
that's humbling.
I was like, okay. And so actually, I remember a few times I asked him for his help.
Wow,
and I asked him to pray for me. And he actually helped me become free from it now.
That's so cool.
And so that was really cool. And I think that's one of the coolest parts about one-on-ones is that, like, it's not just a, like, mentorship role.
Yeah.
But it's also a friendship. And it's all
totally.
About, like, sharpening each other.
Right.
And, like, obviously, like, staff have, like, that role,
the
authority role, I guess, but like it doesn't mean the other person can't speak into the staff's life.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know, at least that's how I see it.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool because we're all still like on a journey of like, I don't know, seeking God and learning what that looks like. And it's not necessarily about your role or function in a specific area, but more just about being authentic and, yeah, knowing, like, when to ask for help and where you have to grow in, so.
And I think, like, the guideline for one-on-ones and the guideline for being in YWAM should be your intimacy with Jesus.
Mm.
And, like...
Which is pretty cool, because that's kind of what we talked about in class this week.
Yeah, and I think, like, yeah, exactly. We talked about, like, hearing the voice of God this week, and I think, like, the way we know whose voices are in our head, like, our own, or I wouldn't say the devil's, but I'm, like, or, like, just, like, thoughts in general, or God's, right, is how much intimacy, like, and abiding we have with, yeah, Jesus.
Like, am I actually spending time, like, getting to know, the Father that, like, calls me to himself, you know?
Yeah, like, fear the Lord, I think.
Yeah, totally.
You draw back to, like, Proverbs, where it talks about, like the beginning of knowledge is fear the Lord, or, like,
yeah.
And, like, I think there was, like, one verse. I actually wrote a sermon one time on Proverbs 2, and it talks all about, like, the value of God's wisdom in our lives. And what I really started to understand while I was doing that study is, like, how much time do we spend, like, valuing, like, our newest iPhone or our newest, like, I don't know, watch, or, like, just, like, the physical, like, objects in our lives.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a verse that talks about, like, we need to be valuing God's wisdom more precious than jewels. And I was like,
dang, yeah,
how can we transform our views and actually start to be transforming, like, our mindsets on how much we value God's wisdom? And I was just like, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Like, what am I seeking after on a day-to-day life? And I started to realize that once we start to, like, value God's wisdom in that way, it's like we start to actually see sin the way God sees sin and see love the way God sees love.
Yeah.
And, like,
and we act differently out of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, because God hates sin.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Like, God forgives sin, but he hates it.
Yeah.
And so, like, how can we actually hate sin? Because, like, I don't know.
Because I think in the world, especially right now, is, like, I think we as Christians, like, have so easily, I group myself into the category of Christians because, like, I don't think I do this, but I'm a part of the body of Christ, so, like, in a sense, it is me. but, like, we know that, like, God hates sin, and, like, so many of us Christians, like, choose to take that characteristic of God, which is, like, hate sin, and we, like, project that onto people who sin.
Yeah, like, we hate the person.
Yeah, we, like, what we're trying to communicate is, like, I don't like what's happening in your life, and I want to see you better. But what we, like, accidentally communicate in a lot of ways is, like, I hate what you're doing, which, like, I'm going to communicate it in a way that you receive it as I hate who you are.
Yeah, and I think,
you know?
I think that's, like, the thing is that for a lot of non-believers, I think their sin is their identity. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, they don't know anything else. Like, for a lot of non-believers that are in sin, and it's also a lifestyle for a lot of people, like, especially, like, specific sins that have been accepted in church. Like,
yeah, totally.
I won't go too, like, too in-depth, but, like...
Right. We don't want to get too crazy in here.
Yeah, we don't want to get...
going into, like, some, like...
Yeah, controversial stuff. Because, honestly, I don't know every answer.
Totally.
But I think for a lot of people, that sin, or sins in general, like, all sin, when they're in it, that's their identity. They don't know their identity that's right. In Jesus.
Which is why, like, they're acting out in that
sin. And so when we're like, oh, love the person, hate the sin, all they hear is hate the sin. You hate my identity. You hate what I stand for. You hate, like, what I've built up for myself. Because they're living for themselves.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, they're living for themselves.
Okay, hold on. I've got to... You said that. It made me think of something this week in class. So we had David Beal, who's from YWAM Sunny Coast here in Australia. He came for this week's lectures with our school, and he taught on hearing God's voice. And so he was awesome, man. He's like a father of six kids.
Yeah.
Six kids. So he just has, like, this awesome father heart and, like, teaches from that place, like, very gentle, very kind, and very just, like, confident in, like, what the Lord has spoken to him. So it was so good, man. But he talked about this one point, like, you saying they just love themselves. It's like out of a place of self. Was that he talked about the Garden of Eden and how God had planted two trees in the center of the garden, and how he told, like, Adam and Eve, like, if you eat from this one, like, the tree of life, then, like, you'll live forever. But if you eat from this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then, like, you, like, that is taken from you. Like, don't eat from this one. And David talked about how at that moment God was offering humanity an opportunity to say, you can either choose this tree of life, which is like your dependence and reliance on God, or you can choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it's the reliance on yourself. And he was like, and every day they had to get up and choose what they're going to eat from to be sustained for the day. And he was like, every day, today, we have that opportunity. It doesn't look like two trees in the middle of a garden.
Yeah.
He was like, but every day we wake up, we have a choice to say, am I going to rely on God or am I going to rely on myself?
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. Like, am I going to rely on the spirit or am I going to rely on the flesh?
Yeah, totally.
Or am I going to rely on the fact that I can walk from salvation or going to, like, try to backstep a bit?
Yeah.
And I think it comes back to, like, renewing your mind. Like, totally. Romans 12, 2, like, I think he went over that a little bit, but it talks about, like, being renewed by the transformation of your mind.
Yeah.
And
transformed by
the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Ugh.
You had it.
I almost had it. Okay, God is still good, everybody. That is still true. But, yeah, I think, like, it also comes back to, like, spiritual disciplines.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I think that's one of the biggest things in my life that has allowed me to be renewed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times before and after DTS and during DTS that I've woken up and I've been like, today, I don't want to spend time with God.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, that's been my truth. Like, I've been like, today, I don't want to. And in those moments that I've decided to, like, force myself to read a psalm.
Yeah.
Are, like, the moments that I've grown the most and I've gotten the most out of that even, like, little 5 second, like.
I heard something super good one time that was, like, if you struggle with reading scripture, like, the one thing that's, like, good to do is, like, just expose yourself to the word. So, like, whether you understand what you're reading or not, like, open it up, open up scripture, and, like, just expose yourself to the word of God. Because, like, whenever you hear the voice of God again, or whenever scripture is read again, like, it will be more recognizable. So, like, even if you don't understand it, like, open scripture, read one verse, like, or even if you don't understand the story, like, if you, like, I know for a lot of people, like, the Old Testament is, like, What am I even reading?
What am I reading? Yeah. How is this applicable to me?
And like,
is this even true today?
It was so cool for me to hear someone put it that way, where it was like, just expose yourself to the word, because later, like, when God wants to speak something to you or through you to someone, you'll be like, wait a second, I've heard this sort of character before.
Yeah. And I think that it actually kind of ties into, like, starting to crave it as well.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that, like, okay, for example, on my outreach, on my DTS, every morning I woke up at 6 a.m. and I listened to worship music and I read a psalm and a proverb.
Yeah.
One psalm, one proverb. And I did this for every day of the month, like the first of the month, first psalm, you know, proverb.
Cool.
And it works really good for Proverbs. It doesn't work as good for Psalms, but you have to, like you start to repeat them or you either repeat them or you like read all of them. But what I was going to say, like when I would do that every day consistently, I started to crave it and I started to desire more than just a Psalm or I started to desire more than just a Proverb. And I would like, oh, I'm going to read Corinthians today, the whole Bible. You know what I mean? Like, you start to crave that. And I think it's because we're not feeding the flesh. We're feeding the spirit.
Yeah.
Whether we know it or whether we don't. Like,
it's the whole, like, daily bread thing.
It's, it's like we're actually putting physical things in place to give God that time. Like, and I think that's the same thing with hearing God's voice. The more physical time we set aside for God, the more we, like, get to know him as a person. Say you and me, like, freaking hang out 5 minutes a week.
Yeah.
I don't think our friendship is going to go very fast, very far, very fast.
But in the same, like, way you say that, you could also say if we only hang out for 5 minutes, it's going to make both of us be like, okay, we got to hang out for more than 5 minutes. Because, like, this is good when we have 5 minutes, but I want more.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you start to crave more.
Yeah, totally.
It's the same thing. And I think it's the same thing with God. But also, like, at the same time, if we just, like, stay in that habit of just, like, 2 minutes or 5 minutes together,
yeah,
we'll never know how to communicate well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, our communication is always going to be off. And we're not going to know each other well enough to understand the different ways we want to communicate.
Yeah, yeah,
and there will always be that, like, that miscommunication. But it could be that one of us is communicating constantly and communicating well, but the other person just doesn't know me well enough to understand.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's the same way with God.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that's good. That's a good example. I mean, yeah, it's good.
Is there a way to pause this real quick? Because my coffee is in the cafe right now waiting for me. There's no way to pause the podcast, is there?
Yeah, I can pause it.
I'm going to run and get my long black real quick and I'll come back.
Sweet. So Elijah got his coffee, and how was it?
It's good. It's gone now.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty quick.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It was an iced long black, or, like, I think the best.
Americano.
Iced Americano.
Yeah. That's what I would call it.
Yeah. The only reason I got an iced one is because it's pretty hot outside. If not, I would have gotten a long black.
And he was kind enough to get me a flat white, which is kind of like a latte.
Yeah.
But
a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know
if it's more Australian.
Definitely better coffee.
Yeah. The coffee culture here in Australia is, like, super legit.
Yeah, if you want to do a DTS in Brisbane, I'd say one of the pros is definitely, like, coffee.
Yeah.
The coffee culture. I don't think there's one weekend that you could probably, every weekend of your DTS, you could probably go to a different, like, amazing cafe.
Yeah, it's really incredible. We also have a cafe here on campus called The Meeting Place, and it's pretty good. It's like a donation-based nonprofit, so it's just a way for us to connect to the community. It's one of our tracks on the music art. You staff that track.
I do staff the coffee track.
How is that?
Tell us about it. It's pretty cool. Like, honestly, we've only had, like, two sessions.
Did you staff that last year?
No, I've done music both times. Oh. So...
So this is your first year doing coffee.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird.
It feels odd.
It feels weird because, like, I'm such a muso.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I think every opportunity I get, I take out a guitar and I just, like, play music.
Yeah, yeah.
You could probably attest to this.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, coffee, I think I'm more of, like, I love making coffee and I love drinking coffee with people.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of studying coffee. But people who want to do that.
See, I'm kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, not that
you love making coffee, though.
Not that I don't, like, love people and hanging out with people, but, like, I managed a cafe in the States for a couple years and, like, just fell in love with, like, everything coffee related, like, which is funny because when I came on DTS, like, I didn't even like coffee. Like, I didn't drink coffee at all.
I didn't either.
Isn't that crazy? And Rachel was, like, Rachel's my wife. She was, like, she wasn't my wife at the time, but she was, like, you need to like coffee so we can go on coffee dates. And I was like, I don't know. Coffee seems kind of gross. But, like, all I knew was, like, Folgers that my parents drank.
Oh my, like, from Costco?
Which is, like, super terrible. It comes in those big tubs, you know?
Those, like, blue ones?
Like, frozen.
Talking about those, like, big blue.
Yeah.
You screw the top off. You get, like, a scoop in.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even actual, like, measurements.
It's
was, like,
way
roasted,
worse
like,
than
3 years
coffee.
Before. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I started getting into coffee a lot. And, like,
it's, like, mixed with dirt.
Just, like, love. Like, good coffee, and, like, I'm okay to admit that I'm a snob, you know?
Yeah, and I, like, think coming to Brisbane, or really any DTS in Australia, you're gonna either, like, come out knowing that you definitely are not a coffee person, or you're gonna be...
That's true.
Like...
You're gonna be like, dang, this is
actually something to try.
Change my world.
Like,
yeah.
Before coming, I probably only ordered, like, really, really sugary drinks, like... If I got coffee,
yeah,
it was mostly just to try it out to see if it would give me energy.
Yeah.
When I was, like, really tired. But I only drink espresso every now and then in Italy. But then I came here, and, like, even on DTS, I didn't drink very much. Then I came back on staff, and I drank one long black. And I've never come back.
Game changer.
Game changer.
One long black, you never go back.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, it's such a cozy and non-cozy drink.
Yeah.
It can be, like, a pick-me-up, but it can also be, like, a stay-inside, warm day.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's finish up here.
Yeah.
One more question for you. If you could share any wisdom with your pre-DTS self, knowing that you're coming on DTS, what would it be? Or to anyone that's thinking about coming on a DTS?
I think I'm going to share a couple of things.
Okay, sweet.
I think after feeling the call to go to DTS, don't just say, okay, I was called to DTS, now I'm going to go to DTS. But every day, wake up and continue to spend time with God. Don't use DTS as the moment to change you. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Don't wait for DTS.
Don't wait for DTS to be molded and shaped.
Yeah.
But instead, like, even like, say I'm preparing for October. I want to do the October Music Art and Dance DTS.
Yeah.
And I, like, I don't know, I apply that summer. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to apply. And I just, like, work on finances and I work on, like, gaining supporters and things like that the whole time. But I'm not going to God every day. And I'm not relying on God for that, like, unity in Him. And I feel like that was one of my big issues, is, like, I was just, like, getting the logistical stuff done instead of being, like, God, why am I doing this again?
Yeah.
You know, like, refresh that first vision you got. Refresh that first calling you got. And I think that was one of the big things for me.
Like, reminding yourself of the why.
Yeah, and don't let finances be a stopper.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I feel like this is a big issue for a lot of people.
Sure.
They're like, oh, I'm not gonna make the money. I'm not gonna get the money. I just can't. Or, like, people are gonna say no to me when I ask them. I feel like the worst that is ever gonna happen when you ask somebody to support you for DTS or even for missions in general is a no.
Yeah.
They're not gonna hate you. Right. And if they hate you, that's on them. That's on them, and that's, like, God's gonna deal with that.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, I grew up in a missionary context, so, like, all I've ever known has been off support. But even when I was applying for DTS, I was like, there's no way that in 4 months or whatever, how many months I had, I'm going to get enough money to go on DTS. There's, like, no way. And God provided every cent before I got there.
That's crazy, dude.
And He provides here on this base. We have right now we have 3 DTSs going on. Well, our DTS that we're staffing, me and Jacob, have 40 students. And God has provided for every one of those students on that school. Multiply that by, like, multiply 40 times 10,000 or, like, 10,000 Australian dollars. That's, like, crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Plus all the staff on the base, which are, like, at least 90 or, like, 80, 70 staff, like, full-time on base. And plus the 2 other DTSs. Plus all the other DTSs that run throughout this school.
Yeah, dude.
And if you start thinking about all the other DTSs on all the other bases as well.
Yeah.
And then that's how you can say, God does provide. I know the truth. I know what God says.
Yeah, because it's easy to, like, get in your bubble and be like, oh, man, like, maybe God doesn't, like, want me to go because, like, I can't raise all this money. But, like, if you consider, like, how many missionaries are in the world that He's providing for, plus, like, all these YWAMers He's providing for.
Yeah.
And, like, He's putting it on people's hearts around the world to, like, donate and give to people, because, like, somebody may not be called to missions, but they're called to own their own business, but God's putting it on their hearts, like, hey, you're not called to missions, but you're still called to missions through Scripture. So, like, so into missions, because you're not going to be on the front lines, but, like, you're going to be a support of missions.
That's true.
So, like, just be bold and ask, you know, like, for me.
At the same time, it doesn't mean just because God is going to provide doesn't mean you can't, like, don't just post a little Facebook post being like, hi, give it to me, please.
Yeah, totally.
Like, make those personal connections. If God takes time to make a personal relationship with you, you can make time to make a personal relationship with people that are going to give to you.
Yeah, totally.
And that's, like, my biggest, like, pet peeve is when I see people, like, just, like, going for, like, ah, here's my Adopt-A-Box on Facebook.
Yeah.
But totally. I'm not going to take time to have a conversation about why God's calling me to this.
Build relationships with people who are... Yeah, invite people into the journey of, like, what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just you going to serve the Lord and, like, learn new things. Like, invite people into that process and, like, invite them into the adventure. Because, like, while you're there, you're going to actually, like, have, like, revelations. You're going to meet new people. You're going to go on adventures. And, like, you're probably going to send email updates or Facebook posts, and, like, you're inviting those people continually into the journey and the process with you. And, like, if you don't make that personal connection, then all they think is, like, you just wanted my money to have a good time.
Exactly. And a lot of people care about
you. But if your heart's there, you know what I mean? Like, they see it and they're like, man, like, look what I'm able to be a part of with them. And like, it won't just be a memory for you. It's actually a memory for them as well.
Yeah. It's not just like, they're not just giving you money. They're investing you. They're investing in the kingdom. They're investing in other people's lives. And you need to explain to them like where you are, what you feel called to.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And then even during that experience, like, show them how you're being shaped and molded into person that God's called you to be. And I felt like that was one of the things that really helped me when I was raising support, was like building that face-to-face connection. And trust me, God provides in the craziest of ways. I was in a cafe one time before I came back on staff. And I grew up in Italy, like I said. And I was in America. And I saw a guy with a t-shirt from a city like 20 minutes away from where I lived in Italy. And I was in Florida.
Dang, that's crazy.
And so I go, hey, where'd you get that t-shirt? Like, I kind of live pretty close to there. And he's like, oh, I've been there. I'm like, oh, wow, it's really cool. He's like, what are you doing here if you're, like, a missionary? And I'm like, well, I'm raising money to go to the States. Long story short, that guy gave me $200. After the one time I met him.
The random guy.
Random guy. He worked for Campus Crusade for Christ, and he gave me $200.
Dang, dude, that's crazy.
I was by myself in the States. I had no connections, and yet God provided that one person.
Wow, that's nuts, dude.
So, like, if you guys are out there and you're, like, feeling discouraged, like,
yeah, totally,
step out in faith and don't be scared to get a no.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, don't be scared. Like,
take a risk, yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah, totally.
Sorry for talking about finances for a while.
Yeah,
but
there you go. There's your...
the 2 points of...
It's Dave Ramsey show here. missions version.
Dave Ramsey.
So... Yeah, I think we'll kind of wrap it up there, and we'll call it an episode and post it up for you guys. Thanks for hopping in the studio today. Kind of last minute. Yeah. I kind of grabbed you and was like, let's do this.
I was like, yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, you kind of sacrificed some time with the coffee guys so that you could be in here. So thanks for joining us. And if you guys have questions about, like, what Elijah's doing on campus or... just like his journey in general, where can they like connect with you? Facebook?
Instagram? They can connect with me probably the best on Instagram.
Insta. What's your handle?
My handle is eccentric_Elijah.
eccentric_Elijah.
I don't even remember when I made that name, but I'm just kind of crazy. So yeah,
it works.
Feel free to message me.
Yeah. Shoot him a message. Questions. Ask him about what he's doing. Also follow YWIM Brisbane on Instagram. I think it's just at YWIM Brisbane.
Yeah.
Or if you have questions about like the DTS or anything related to like ministries that we have here on the campus, you can go to YWIMBrisbane.com and
or
check
just shoot
those
an email
out.
To info.
Yeah, you can shoot an email to info@YWIMBrisbane.com. Ask any questions you have, whether it's DTS or anything else related. Thanks for joining the podcast. We'll keep posting next week. We're hoping to have a student from the MAD DTS in here. Should be pretty fun. We'll get a little different kind of perspective of how it's going. So last week we tried to come up with a jingle for like the outro or like some sort of like you were listening to the, you know what I mean?
Student and staff chats.
So
hard chats with students.
Yeah,
and
we
staff.
did like thanks for listening to Hard Chats
with students. Why
Win Brisbane podcast.
That's actually one thing I've always wanted to do is make jingles. I guess a job.
Okay, so come up with a jingle. You actually do like really good like random like songs and stuff. So
hard chats with students and staff. Da 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 da. I don't know.
There you have it. We'll see you guys next time.